also like to welcome honorable members. You're welcome, honorable Masiko, because you are out of the country. You're welcome, NYDA CEO and the board members. Thank you very much for always being here in Parliament. I did speak to your chairperson yesterday. She's going to China today, so she won't be part of this meeting. Yeah, welcome the department. I know that Minister just told me that the minister will be joining us late, but she's coming. Any other apology? You're welcome. Our interpreters, the sign language interpreter and the interpreter, the state law advisor, Miss Naidu, and the legal person from Parliament, Mr.
Mushokwa.
The ICT team, you are welcome, and a very good morning to all of you. And thank you very much for preparing your systems early. Hopefully, Parliament, YouTube is on, and I don't know whether it's YouTube and Facebook or whatever. I think you have prepared all those mainstream media so that people can hear us. And those who have, so that people who doesn't have access to come to Cape Town are able to watch our committee on YouTube and what?
Twitter
and what? Honorable Sheriff, please check for me, YouTube. If it's on, if it's not on, let them fix it right now. KPMG, you're welcome. Thank you very much, honorable members. My voice is hoarse. Yesterday, I couldn't even speak. So I was trying my level best, but I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry, my voice is so concerning today. Because this is one of our negative bills that we have done as the Fofolo Committee on behalf of Parliament and the Fofolo South Africa Women. We have been trying. So today we're debating that bill in the afternoon, the TPV was. I see Honorable Sheriff is saying YouTube is not working.
No.
So, is what?
Thank you.
And we are saying expand. I think what needs to be put is the district officers. We need to find a way on how then on the act we put district officers to reach out to young people in rural areas and those who are in rural areas, remote areas like Abu Messina. A person from Messina cannot travel from Messina and go to Fulukwani. I think even Honorable Carol, when she's traveling to Cape Town, she'll have to wake up very early in the morning. I don't know how many hours from Messina to Fulukwani. So we need offices there. In that case, deep rural areas, all my anybody. Lezo now, lezo. People can't drive to East London to access the office of NYTA. Northwest, also there are the village when you are traveling to Botswana is called, I forgot, I don't remember the name. It's a very poor village. Next, we are going through it when we are traveling to Botswana, trying to cross the border to Botswana. I forgot what do they call that village? Northern Cape. Northern Cape also is a desert area and is very vast. And Nayo, people can travel to, I don't know whether it's Kimberley or to where, we need district offices there. So those ones, they should be, I think, in the Act. So those are the changes that we need to have in effect in the Act so that at least we know which NYTA is able to reach out to young people in the periphery. It must not concentrate only in the urban areas, but it must go down on mood, in mood. Am I calling it right, Mr. Bell? On a mood.
Yes.
We need offices in such areas. So I think that is the one that when we say we are amending the Act, I think we need that. But also, it also affects the budget, the NYTA, if it's removed, Mr. Khanna. It will affect the budget, the NYTA. In fact, they are not even going to get the extra budget that they are getting from the National Treasury. So, please put it back. NYTA, if one of Mr. Delveni Javid, which are no longer going to do issues of policy, had that, they are going to do it, that component must go back to what the department has done before was wrong, and we've been saying it as a portfolio committee that no NYTA must still do policy formulation. Whether it advances it through the department, it's not a problem, but you need to come up with new policies of young people. Coming from the research that you're doing at the NYTA. So the issue of innovation and creativity, how are you going to do it if you remove, you know, the gist of the main principal act? So I think that's the part we need. So NYTA must not relax. We need that critical thinking. But if you remove all those components, then that means we have just taken out everything and we left them with a share. So we are just like any other person out there who's saying NYTA was an AUC thing and it's not an AUC thing. NYTA is an institution that must empower young people, must advance issues of young people, must do advocacy for young people, but also in terms of skills training and development, NYTA must be one of the vehicles that government is using to advance issues of young people. That thing of the COO, we said it must go back to the act, that position. This thing that they have explained of having a head of operations, it's okay for them to call them that, but the main position of the COO must remain in the principal act. It must not change. I think that one was said most fully by honorable members last week. So term of office must remain 3 years. The composition of board members, the number of board members who are agreeing, it must be nine. And we at the age 18 to 35, in line with our constitution. And then the other thing was what? Yeah, I think what we said also is that by saying we need nine board members, we don't mean each province must be represented. We're saying the issue of LGBTQAI plus, it must be captured correctly there. The issue of disability, it must be captured correctly there, so that at least we know that amongst the nine board members that will be appointed by the president, at least the person living with disability is there, one person from LGBTQIA plus is there. And then the other seven members can be appointed from any province, but it cannot be correct that people think out there that each province will be represented one. I am the answer. But you are saying it cannot be correct that one province is having seven members in the board. I think you are agreeing with that one. I think those are the critical matters that we thought this week, which is much. I think this is something that needs to be corrected from individuals out there. That geographical spread is going to be considered, but. It says signal, there's no signal. ICT, it says there's no signal. I don't know why it says no signal. Yeah. I want to talk about how connected that. I want to put you in the local. I to at you.
The committee amendment, I'm standing in for someone.
Anything, Mamsoji, any she left?
close to the thing, just made my apology. I don't think you have left something to have.
Okay, Honorable
Pierre. Moving to your first check, the colleagues and the delegation from NIGN, delegation from the department and everybody in the house. I just want to make a comment. Actually, it's a plea that we must not be taken back. Those who are not part of us last week, we are not going to reflect. What you have just highlighted is what we have agreed upon last week, and in particular from the department. We don't expect the DG, no one, to want to open a discussion of what we have done last week. Next chance.
I've done my level best to talk to them also on things that we have discussed. I'm just assisting if Nondumiso had luck. You'll hit the road running because you're not there here last week. Your colleagues will tell you. Next. I'll change the issue. Honorable members, if you can't change anything that was said, we are the ones now who are finalizing the bill. Then listen to us. Leave DG. Honorable members, leave DG. They will write what you're saying. They must write.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. So we'll continue. I can get, are there any apologies?
Advisor and approval by cabinet for taking of the meeting plan. I think that is why we are here, because of this particular process.
think the honourable minister as well, we were able to bring her in March when she joined the cabinet. And then by that time, the vision had already been changed. Now, allow me, Chair, to then go straight into the point that we raised. Starting with what was raised by the NYDA on Section 3 of the Bill, where they were expressing a view that says that coordination, the function of coordination, should be shared between the presidency, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, as well as the agency itself. Now, our response here is that this bill speaks specifically on the establishment of the NYDA. As such, it cannot legislate the functions of other stakeholders. Like, this bill cannot legislate what the presidency must do in terms of coordination, or legislate what the department must do in terms of coordination. We understand that coordination itself is an inherent function within all different levels. Right? So the NYDA has got the authority to coordinate functions within the ambit of its own functions. And the department will play a role that coordinates within the ambit of its own programs and of course mission and vision, as well as the president itself. So as such, we cannot put a floor that says coordination must be done by the presidency, must be done by the department, must also be done by the NYDA. That's number one. I will also be guided by you, Chair, as to whether I should continue presenting or we engage clause by clause. But without intervention now, I will proceed. In terms of Section 9, the NYDA proposed that the age limit of members should be adjusted to begin from 21 to 35. Moving from the current age of 18 to 35. Now, I know last week when we were here, the department stood side by side with members of the portfolio committee to say that we have moved. There was a time when the people were saying that for a person to be on the board, they have to be 14 to 35. We were requested by cabinet to move that position from 14 to 18. Now, there's this point that now says, being on the board is about performing fiduciary duties, and of course it requires that a person possess certain knowledge and skills, as well as experience, including legal experience and financial experience. So as such, there is a move to now support this new, let's say, 21 to 35, as the eligibility of being a board member.
Chair, I don't know whether you're going to do the normal way when the president chooses to remove or you must wait for the president. No, we do the same thing, the same way we said. Just like the issue when we said we don't want to go back. Chair, we've made comment the recommendation as members of the portfolio committee that we need not to deprive young people. And when they say from 18 years you are employable, you can work, you can get remuneration. So it seems fit for a young person who's 18 years to be a board member. Currently, we are even observing young people who are very innovative, who are very smart, who have got brilliant ideas to even take it forward to the NYDA. I think it's unfair to say 18 to 35 is the right age for a person to be a board member, irrespective of the skills that they are going to or experience or expecting. You have young people who are doing accounting at school and economics that I believe is good enough for a person to understand financial routine. A person can even read and analyze a balance sheet, share certain income and expenditure from standard 8, which is a grade 10. We are taught that. Therefore, Chair, the fact that they want to change from 21 to 35, it's depriving those who can do that work.
We are not saying forcefully it must be a person with 18 years, but that they will fill the gap of 18 to 35. It says young people. And, you know, I'm so disappointed with us that NYCA will fight for young people. We're very innovative. You get, if you have listened to interviews that we made to young people yesterday, when they were starting their matric exams, you could hear these kids or these young people, they're very innovative. They've got a four eye where they could look forward and change the world. So what is it that would deprive a person with 18 who, when you interview, you feel and you hear that that young person has all the qualities to be foresighted? And today we want to talk about 21. When we are saying a young person with 18 years can be employable, and we're depriving that. I still stand to the chair, 18 to 25. Let's check.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I find it really funny when we expect young people to have a wealth of experience and knowledge when they're young people. It's the same as saying, we are going to create a job, but you need 10 years of experience, but we're looking for a 25-year-old. It's funny, because we want to give young people opportunities, but we also put barriers on young people based on experience and skills development. How are young people going to get experience if we don't give them opportunities? It doesn't make sense to me. So I would agree with Honorable Piri, the committee made a decision, and that is the decision we stand by. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to speak to Section 5.4. I just want clarity. Does that now mean you're going to remove that requirement that you had in the principal act of maintaining a database for employment opportunities? Because I don't see that there. Thank you.
The issue of age may focus like this. We say the constitution says 18 years. But don't you what you said like this? We are saying that the cohort of young people from the age of 18 and 25, they must be accommodated. Even when we're doing NYDA interviews last year, when we made recommendations and we shortlisted candidates, so, don't change what you say. But it says the control comes. It must remain. Young people, remember we said NYDA, it must not be an institution of the elite. There are young people who have failed, who have dropped out from university. And there are young people who even get an opportunity to go to university. So you don't have to discriminate those young people. So young people from the age of 18 to 25, that's all, it must represent in the NYCA. In fact, what we have agreed upon last week, don't take us back. When I concentrate on the things that we said what you have received and the things that were the same, tell us this was the same thing, this one was saying the same thing with that one, like what you did with the TV reviews. So that if 10 people were talking one thing, you will mention this organization presented the same thing like the other organization. So because it's for those ones, it must be recorded that those people submitted and then these are the things. And then tell us in the novelty what is it that you took. And then Tina, we are inputting now as the portfolio committee. And then we have law, we have paid law advisors. When we need anything that is legal or is not illegal, we ask them, they tell us, this one chair is illegal, this one chair is legal. So
the purpose of us having state law advisors and the legal person from Parliament is basically for that. Because after say yes, if you must say finalize by Parliament. So mina kufunzi intefuna yini. Ne? The NYPA that they did last week, I said, Nina, you failed to represent the interests of young people. You are considering it's like you are being selfish. Because if you are changing in position that we for Nina, that means we are the same is going to affect the coming generations. So don't be selfish. Yeah, but they must not think like for today. They must think for future, because it will mean for 10 years that those young people won't be able to amend NYPA Act again. So please, when I according to what you need to present today, what you will receive and what is not is not there. Those agree with some of the things. Tell us those who do not agree with some of the things. It's our responsibility as lawmakers, which is what is best for young people. Yeah, well, so Tina, we are doing our job now. Anything that is illegal, the state law advisor and the legal person from Parliament, they will tell us. Yeah. That's too bad. That's it.
So, Michelle,
because
this is the institution that must continuously do the above. Just to answer you, Honorable Offerman, these are some of the things that they must not remove.
Yes.
Because this is the core system of the NYTA, which is what needs to be done. So, which means remember, the department is doing e-monitoring, and it's one of your core businesses to do e-monitoring. So, here, I think the department must also find a working relationship, a way on how then to then monitor. Through you, they can also get the statistics on whether other departments, even in the private sector, you can get those reports also from the NYTA to put here what they are supposed to be doing according to the Act. Is it happening now on the ground? Meaning on the ground, whether it's private sector, whether it's public sector, municipalities, provincial government, and state-owned entities. So we can get that report from NYTA. So this one, it must remain in the principal act. I'm reading the principal act now. What does it say? So I'm trying to answer the Honorable Government. These are some of the things that I was mentioning before when I was doing my opening remarks. So, Honorable Government, this will remain in the principal act. It's not going to be amended. Let's move to the next one.
So, I think in terms of how we proceed, and the brief we got was that...
Honorable Carol, let's speak.
So the brief that we got was that we need to respond to each and every comment that is there from the site. Whether it has been responded to or resolved in a meeting, we need to show an account, even to those members, that every comment that they have made is consistent. So that is the aim of the process.
Yes, not
to
say anything there. Yes, anyway. Honorable members, he's correct. He's updating us on what they have received and how they have responded. And with the things that we have said now, it changes how they responded. Because now we are dealing with the bill as the person of connection. So the same way we were dealing with the CPVPS. So Nani had told you, the Senate and Vera, what we have agreed upon last week with them, we've agreed that he's reporting for record purposes on how have they responded to the submissions that they have received from among public hearings that they were doing. Okay. Now it would also be able to start here the general members of the
when he says respond, it means their response, they are saying they still stick to in 1 year. It is their response. That's why I've written it. So say if you just stick to the one, you can move.
Everybody has overseas, but in the meeting.
What informs them that the department to stick to what even the public is saying?
Yeah, you can kind of
what
things that we have discussed last week, in the committee. You must also say, Yolanda, you have name, Mama Ugo Mugeza, we have to tell another copious speech. I was amending that speech. Mr. Kanak, that Kanak, when I urge you, this is how you responded. And last week, this is what we have agreed as a committee. This is what the committee proposed last week. Yeah. So that some of you have got to think about this.
So what we've done, Chair and members, is giving the comments of the portfolio committee themselves, we've put the staff. So after this section that speaks to what the NYDA said, there is a section that speaks to what the portfolio committee itself has said. So I will be touching on those as well. I know some of them might touch or link up with what the NYDA has said. So I will jump on those, but they are there. All of the comments by the members, they have also been listed. And then before I go to the presentation, Chair, just to say that in terms of the functions and objects of the agency, we've noted the point that says issues like the career advancement, establishment of a database must be there. But I think I would also refer the members back to even the original Act in Section 3, Section 2, which has not been amended by the bill. Would say that nothing contained in this Act contained in this bill precludes the agency from directly any program or organization aimed at advancing its object in terms of this Act. So it is not in any way an attempt to muzzle the NYDA or cut off its wings in any way. The aim was just to clarify some of the functions that the NYDA needs to do. By the way, based on the fact that it has been said, even by the agency itself, that some of the functions and objects are not funded. They are not even able to implement projects. So the intention of the bill is to streamline some of those functions. I think I'll be speaking to those even as I continue and chair.
Why are you saying this? Because they are reporting to us, and I think they've got problems.
Yeah, but I think it's something that is discussed even with the NYDA to say some of the mandated functions have not been funded for and they've not been able to do. That is something that is in the public.
Honourable Oberman and Honourable Phillips. You say some of your mandated functions have not, you didn't have the money for that, so now you have omitted that. But you're saying that in section 3-4 of the bill, it still speaks to your mandate, but it doesn't put any obligation on you now to go and do that specific mandate. It doesn't put an obligation on you to do maintain a database for employment opportunities, and that is my issue. If it's not specifically stated in the bill, there's nothing that obligates you to implement your mandate.
And maybe I can speak to that issue of the database. Even though it might seem as if that function is removed, the issue of career development, information services, linking young people with economic opportunities remains in the field. Right? The NYDA even has got a database of unemployed graduates, which we have used as a department in some of the problems that we have come across, which wanted young people that are unemployed. So it is by no means an intention to remove that particular obligation or that particular function from the agency. It's just the language that is used. But the expectation, if we talk career advancement, career-related services, career support services, that will include the issue of the database. Definitely.
Chairperson, when it comes to this issue of Section 5.4c of the Act and creating and administer databases of employment opportunities, the department has indicated that it wasn't their intention to remove this, and this is the current practice, obviously arising from the current Act. This is a matter of interpretation. And in terms of the National Assembly rules, once a bill comes into the committee must decide. If you feel that a wording needs to be explicitly stated, note working so well that the department has indicated that yes, this is still going to be done. Then when we draft the ALIS together with the parliamentary law advisor, we can be more explicit in that regard. From our position, we don't see any contention here because my colleague Emmanuel is stating this is the current position. It falls within career guidance, but I agree with the committee, it's good to be explicit and stated that this will be an aspect of that career guidance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I want to make this recommendation. Why should we play this way, Chairman? Then we are saying, let us coordinate. You know, one thing that was observed since we have started this bill process is that there is a sense of selfishness. If you want to suit a certain incumbent and want to stop whatever that will come next. So what is the status quo? If it has nothing to do with take away all the things, why should we play the way? Let it remain the way it is and allow those who are coming, because they'll never be here forever, allow them to get benefit of what they've got. We are fine, we are satisfied with the status quo, the main principle being how it's a return. Let us not stay this way. Please, we are pleading. Actually, if you want us to leave down through you, Minister, we are pleading. The status quo must remain. Why should you want to play with us? Because you are even saying it. You are confirming it is just an issue of the way. Why do you have to decorate a deal?
Maybe I'm going to support what you honourable members are saying. The status quo remains, has remained the way it's written under Section 5.
Very good, Chair. Maybe the last point that I'll say on this one is that the NYDA is currently working with the presidency and other partners on programs such as the presidential development intervention and more, which is specifically a youth employment program. So even though the original act, that was not something that was allocated and catered for, right? But in terms of some of the clauses that are being proposed now, you've got the under Section 4F, design and support youth employment programs. So it's more than just a way of work. Maybe the last point I can put here is just to say that the status quo can remain, but let us also look at things that are coming from the bill, which are new, which are relevant for the agency, as we prepare it to be an agency of the future. So I think that is just the thing I want to put on the table on this point.
So what's new is that?
No, it's not new yet. No, I just wanted to bring the high one.
Chair, you know, sometimes when you vote, they must listen to themselves. They are saying currently there's nothing that stops them to continue and have programs with presidents. It means the bill on its own, on its principal mandate, it has never hindered them. It has allowed them to do things that are not written in the second one, but it allows them to have those things. So why should they? You want to retract some, you add some. But this principle bill allows the current situation that you are explaining. You have just explained, or in the bill it was not mentioned to have bilateral or programs with the president, but now it's allowed. And nothing cannot be contested in any case, in any court of law. It means it allows it. So why wouldn't you give the reason? Seems like there's hindrance. Or maybe you must give one. Have you ever taken to court to for NYGA to do that? Because it's not tabled in the previous bill. Now you are amending it. What is the rule that is going to hinder NYGA to still continue and work in this manner? Maybe you must tell us, where have you been taken to court? Have you ever had litigations about that?
Thank you.
Does it stop you in the main content of the status quo?
No, Honorable Mathico.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to your sisters, Honorable Members, the Minister, and the entire team. Chair, one is a bit disorientated because I've not been around, but I must apologize in advance when Honorable TV had said we have decided and don't take us back. I just got afraid that maybe I will contribute and run the risk of taking the committee back because of my absence. But I have been listening to what Emmanuel is saying, Honorable Chairperson. In fact, one must appreciate all the views that he's coming with, because I think he's laying them there for us to consider and look at all the aspects. If for me something is not really written in black and white but it's doable, it does not really mean that in future it might not be contested if it's not in black and white. So I think we should listen beyond what he is saying in relation to future prospects of the growth in terms of the work that the NYDA is doing, and the scope might be extended in the future, because in terms of the programs that are being done and it being a youth orientated organization, there are a number of innovative programs and ideas that they would like to venture into in the future. So I think that in the consideration of including something that might allow and not restrict, for me is something that is due for consideration. I'm not saying that there are spaces there, but if in future there are programs that they wish to venture into, I don't think it would be wise for them to be restricted by what is written in black and white. I'm not sure, Chairperson, as I said, I'm a bit old with this orientation. I might be hearing me incorrectly, but the committee might have considered it last week and dealt with it. So maybe let me stop there. Thank you very much.
I think, thank you,
Honorable
Members.
Now, it's okay, Chair. Thank you for your opportunity. I think when we move to the next phase, we'll indicate those points, and then we'll understand.
Yeah, so that you know, we maybe there are new things that you wanted to add. Yeah, well, you can add new things that you feel strong that it must be in the X. Yeah, it must be in the X. But if there are things that you wanted to take out and to say we feel strong that no, don't remove that. Leave the X as B. Just add new things that you feel strong that can be there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, I will continue with the presentation.
I did, but maybe we have some of that because I was saying that according to the main aid, then there's nothing that the NYCA can't do. Because first, they can't provide any services. Those services will not be specified in the deal. So there's nothing they can't do as long as that room remains in the main aid.
So one point that was discussed a lot last week, and I thought there was concern because I remember the chair also asking the NYDA delegation whether this issue they understand and implication is on the issue of policy development. And I know the chair already in the beginning said we are not going back. But I think in last week's meeting, it was mentioned, even the NYDA had mentioned the fact that the policy function, they have not been able to do. It is also, in terms of Section 3A of the PFFA, understood that the agencies in that leadership, their role is to implement policy, and then the parent department is the one that will develop policy. It doesn't mean, in this case, by policy, we mean national policy. And as a brand, as a particular output of the ministry. And it is the function of policy development has to remain with the minister, and then the agency can develop its own particular policy. It can be an intervention development policy. It can be, it can be a capacity building or whatever policy. They can still develop those within the use of their mandate. But in the function of national policy, that function belongs to the minister, and it belongs there because she is the one responsible for oversight over the entity. They have to determine because that she develops and as the principal responsible for the agency. So we agree, and they agree with us that the policy function, specifically the national policy, will remain with the party. That's under issue factor.
But we were disagreeing with you. We're saying the NYCA, the principal act must remain as is in terms of what the position is. Because why? The new board members, remember when you were dealing with this base, there were only two board members at that time. They were not even correcting. That's what we told you. They were not even correcting. And the new ones, they don't have the insight of NYTA, the way we understand NYTA. You see, people who are experienced and people who are not experienced, it's different. We are saying they can still continue to do it. And working together with the Department of Women, they can even sponsor whatever policy they want to do through the Department of Women. There's nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. They can, as you work with the Ethics Department, I think we're in 27 and NYCA. So they can initiate and tell the department, because this is what we think this is the input that we think young people need. Yeah? And then sponsor it to the Department of Women. There's nothing wrong with that, Mr. Kana.
See, I agree with you. I think young people making policies for young people is the way to go. if again we are stuck in this cycle of, you know, young people not knowing what the solutions are. Let me tell you something. Young people have innovative solutions for many of the issues in our country. And I agree that the NYDA must be given some, you know, leeway to look at the, because they know what the issues of young people are, to come up with solutions and provide it to the department. Thank you, Chair.
The process there is implementing it. And it's important that they need also to think what new innovations and new policies they want to introduce through the Department of Women. There's no advisor, what are you saying?
Legislation, the NYDA is also expected to contribute to the policy framework in South Africa. I'll give you another example. It's to say, everybody is expected to design what a framework for national youth service should look like in the country, how it is to be designed and how it is to be implemented. But the minister is absolutely correct to say, the NYD CEO or chairperson or board can never sit before cabinet and propose legislation. It is only a minister in this country who has a seat at cabinet and then can take policy cabinet. So we can contribute towards policy development. But ultimately we need a sponsoring executive authority through a minister to ensure that legislation or policy is taken through the process of development.
Chairperson, in line with what Minister has said and my colleague from the NYDA, I believe, if you look at the current Act, reporting was done to the President, and because he is the President, especially if we look at other instances of state security where the functions of a DG was imposed on him. When the policy decision, and I've been with the department over back and forth with the bill over the last 6-7 years, so the position was, if a minister was specifically going to administer this act, then we need to align it to all legislation in South Africa. And correctly so, Minister indicated that policy comes from the executive. So overarching, overall policy, not only for the NYDA, but across the board for every department, comes through cabinet approval, through the executive presenting it to cabinet. When it comes to this issue, an example I would give is the Public Finance Management Act, where entities can make their own supply chain management policy, but it follows the overall arching policy that comes from through the minister, developed by the department on the minister's guidance. So when it comes to that aspect, minister is correct in saying that overall policy comes through there. However,
no one is contesting that part.
No one.
We're not contesting that part.
Sorry, Chair, can I, the next part, which everyone is in agreement with as well, is that when this policy is being made, one of the key stakeholders, if not the most important one, is the NYDA representing the youth. And then through Section 5, there's the specific like career guidance and so on and so forth. They can then strengthen the policy when it comes to that aspect. But from a legal perspective, that is the way we follow throughout across the board when it comes to policy that comes from cabinet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Legal person from Parliament.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I agree fully with the views that have been expressed by my colleague from the State Law Advisor. I think there seems to be a mixture of policy and legislation. And I think that's where the disagreement or confusion seems to emanate. The duty of Parliament, and I think the Minister stated this correctly, is to make a law. A law can only set the framework for the executive within which it must operate. But the issues of operations and implementation traditionally are left to the executive. That's why you will see, Chairperson, in all the legislation that we make in Parliament, we often allow the Minister to make regulations because that's another level of administrative function, which Parliament cannot do justice to it at the level at which it is sitting. It is easier for the minister who is administering the legislation to understand what administrative measures should be put in place. So in a way, I agree fully, Chen, that I think as we engage and as we debate on this, that we separate those two. And I'm not at all, Chair, suggesting that they are always clear. There may be overlaps, but I think with the wisdom between the state law advisor, parliamentary legal advisor, and of course the advisor from the NYDA, we can be able to find that balance between the three of us. Thank you very much, Chair.
I don't know how we have arrived yet, because what has been explained by the minister, we are not contesting that. We know how it's done. What we are specifically saying, the state has come at the least with the fact that it does not hinder, does not put any hindrance in what the NYDA is doing now. We are happy about it. Maybe the misconfusion is when the presenter tries to explain and give a broad explanation that we are not into. Or maybe he must be careful when he presents and say things where they are supposed to be said. Because currently we are just sitting on the fact that we are saying status quo remains, because even the minister which is started to say nothing stops the NYDA for it in the current law. And we are just simply saying that you have just opened something else that is deep. We start to workshop each other between the policy and the legislation and whatever. No. We'll never contest the role of a cabinet. We'll never contest what this is an amendment. We are simply saying, don't get it with it. Simply, this is what we are saying. The current situation, as long as, and the chair has just made Honorable Masiko say, if there's something that you want to add in addition, because you feel it must be stated, just add, but don't remove what is there. It's simple. Can you yourself as a presenter do justice? Don't mix issues, don't bring what you have debated in our absence. Be straight to the point and focus. We'll have progress. Thank you.
Yeah, let's focus on the members. This way, the principal test will remain as it is. But what I want to add is that in terms of policy, that the NA, they will support the executive authority in youth development policy, formulation, and contribution to use the answers to the national and contribute to use policy formulation in the country. I think
contribute
to use policy formulation in the country. That's how we need to capture it.
Chair, that is a correct submission of the future. Even in the deal, in a taxation tax, never means continue to taxation. And I think we're going to amend it to say continue. Exactly as you say, is how we are doing the thing.
Yeah,
their view, the fully support an unaffiliated group. So from this point, I will not wait to my eyes. These are the comments from the members of the issue of the CEO, Chief Operations Officer. Yes, the principal should provide for that. The CEO may appoint a chief operations officer and a chief financial officer and other executive managers. So they always say you have to remove reference to the CEO.
Most Section 3 agencies are appointed by the minister.
this one is unique, the bond appointed by the president. So there is another looking forward to that. Even though they give the other person to one, there will be another affiliation that is to the nine members. I don't know whether
that happens. Just now, we told you that the current setup is department with the MIGA who are certified audit. Dr. Benin is always working with the MIGA who are certified with that. There's no need for you to change it. So there's no need for the co-option or whatever. Then the lead show will up. Yes. And if Dr. Bennett is always there with the MIGA, working with the MIGA. But we said the MIGA we did not agree with you with the new proposal of appointment of two extra people. The chair, the class is up in front.
Now, actually, what is what the response with what you are saying is current? Don't mix it, that is also coming in the night. The night is the current session. Currently, when we got a response from the chair, she said currently the setup is that the minister brings two people which are ex officio to sit with the board to guide and advise. You know what you're saying? That's the current setup. We are fine with it. We don't dispute that. And on that one, don't be limited to the guy. You must come again on the leg of execution. The execution. So now, that's current one. If we are fine with it, you must just state that the committee says the current function, we are fine with it. And because it allows the minister, I believe what Dr. Benitez is appointed by the minister to go sit with them. The bird dog card is coming tonight. Don't confuse that.
Thank you, Chair. As we spoke about it last week, I think that the committee's view was pretty straightforward. Any other board members that we are going to add to the current seven board members must go through the process of interviews, the parliamentary process, and be appointed in that way. That is what the portfolio committee said. Whether they have voting rights, whether they don't have voting rights, we can't allow appointment to just happen in that way. So, Chair, for me, I can't agree to ex-officio members if it's not going through the parliamentary process. If we're going to make the board bigger, everybody must go through the same process. And we can't just, you know, give that away. So I agree with Honourable Peavy. If we're speaking about the making the board bigger, that comes after. But in terms of the ex-officio members, the committee was clear. Anybody who's going to sit on the board needs to go through the same process and have the same fairness granted to them. We can't just appoint two people. And it's not only micromanaging, as you captured there. We had an entire conversation about it. So maybe speak to our contact advisors to get more information, because that's what's really expected.
Yes. That's basically what you said, which is the point on people who are coming get back to the one thing that the correct thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't get too much.
yile enye bekakhuluma ngokuthi i-additional of two ex officials that is the such agency. Minister. Okay,
yeah, go on. I'll come to you.
Okay.
I apologize because I found this in Parliament.
Yeah.
Normally, when you amend a bill, you say, what is the mischief you're trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, this is the mischief. And this is what you want to do. So I wasn't there at that stage when that discussion of what is the mischief that we are trying to do. I want to be there, so I'm satisfied. So I'll
Minister, because Mr. Khanam, we are doing oversight over the NYCA. So far there was nothing that we as members of Parliament were suspecting that there's something wrong that is happening there. They've been doing their work the right way. They've been getting unqualified audit reports for the past, I don't know whether it's 7 years or 5 years or whatever. So there's no need for any additional co-option of two members by the ministry. Let the young people sit alone, let the young people do their work, and then at the end of the day, if they anything, that is the rationalities that are happening in the NYCA. I think at this stage there's nothing so far. They are doing their work correctly. They are meeting their targets. You know, we have been complained as the Kofiro Committee. So there's no need. For us, it's like Papagala Mamoni Trust na Mamoni. And we want to manipulate what they are doing. We don't want that. We want their independence as young people to continue the way it is. They are delivering. Nina, you know, something is clear which will be used as division. This is an disappointment so far. My eye is not saying at church. So, it's not to go to the one you have to ask.
members, we agree that this is of course a major shift in the field, and it will have cost implications. And then, inadvertently, it might say to the public that each province must have a representative on the board. Even if we think it is not the case, but it's going to look like that. So we are putting it forward to the collective to say that it might also in future maybe lead to some challenges or litigation from the youth if that position of one province, one member is not satisfied. So maybe go back to that issue of saying that we have not identified a problem with the current functioning of the board. In line with that thinking, the department proposes that the number of board members appointed by Parliament remain at 7, as is in the department.
Which is much better online, but to appoint the 3 parliamentary processes.
Yes, I think we're giving the departmental response. And then this is the departmental response on the
board. Oh, yeah, sure. Which is then very
simple. This is what we are saying.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But finally, it's corrected today. Mr. Khanna, you corrected this last week.
Last week, Chair, we got comments from the portfolio committee and all the public members that were here. We were requested to then come and respond to everything. So we are responding, Chair.
Honorable Sheriff, Honorable Carol, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, thank you so much. I don't know where we are not finding each other, but the portfolio committee is not providing comments for the department to deliberate on. The committee is giving direction on what the bill needs to add. That is our job as a portfolio committee. We are lawmakers. We are the ones that have to make this bill the best bill, and then go and defend it. Okay, in our constituency. That is our role. So please don't disrespect us and treat us like we are another stakeholder. It is this committee that will decide on this bill and if it will even pass. And the way it's going, Chairperson, I feel like our comments are being handled like any other organization. It is not any other organization. We are a portfolio committee. We are mandated by Parliament. So if we as a committee say we don't want 2 ex-official members, we want 9 full members, that is what the bill must say. Finishing club. That is how it works, Chair. Secondly, for me personally, I don't believe we need to make the board bigger. I think 7 is fine where it stands. But that's just my personal view. And if the committee feels like it needs 9, then that's the decision of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Is that what you said?
Can I come in? Chair, I want to agree with the second part of the form, that is the envelope. The issue of composition of the board is provided for. It is proposed that the clause reads that the members must broadly reflect the demographic and geographical spread of the republic that covers the gender, race, disability, and etc., which includes your LGBT A+, which includes the disability, and it stops out of the report. The reason why we are talking about composition and the editing of 2 members, it has nothing to do with Mr. Khanna or saying it will look as if we are doing the issue of one per province, no chair. We are very specific and vocal to say the reason, actually even last week, we have just said it, we are increasing on the basis of the demographic and the geographical spread, and it stops there. And I don't think it will, in the near future, unless otherwise you consider, in the near future, if you are increasing on the basis of the democracy, the demographics and the job spread, it will have, it has a loophole of litigation, as you have just said. You know, now my problem is when you present, you add a statement, and those statements look like they've got loopholes. Does it have a loophole when you put it the way you've put it, irrespective of the number? Does it have a loophole there? Because you have just said in the near future, if it can take us to court, it will seem like one per province. Does it have a loophole when you have put it the way I've read it? You have read it yourself. Two, we are saying your proposal, whether it was your proposal or the NYHDA board, to say two ex officials, why do you need two ex officials? My question is in last week, why are you saying it was, why do you want ex officials? If there's a need of two, let it be a full composition, not ex officials. That's how we debate it. And we are saying, let it be, because you are dug and diving the survey, but you want to put two ex officials with a backdoor. That we are saying the minister must appoint. We are saying let the entire, with the two ex officials, must not be appointed by the minister, must go through the process of parliament. We are agreeing actually with your two officials, but neither you want to play with way. You don't want us to appoint it in a direct way, straight. You want us to be appointed by the minister. See, now we are just saying it. So you get the gist of the matter. I think I doubt whether you were there last week. If you were here, the issue here, Chair, they must listen carefully with what you are saying. We can't be rhetoric and repeat ourselves. They proposed two ex-officials, not us. We disagree with the content of ex-officials that was appointed by the minister. We are saying that two you are proposing must be go through the normal process of the survey. And it means it must be denied and must be appointed straight with the process of parliament. You get, I'm over, it says minister. This is minister. Whoever was there at the reality is minister. So we don't want those who must be appointed by the minister. Because Nina, it's you who want to. See, now I say, we are agreeing with your two, but we are not agreeing with the status that you are giving the two. We are agreeing with your two. But let it be a straightforward tool, not with a backdoor. Let it go with the processes of parliament. So even when you capture, when you read it, this we are making it for the reason of the public to understand. And I believe we are right, Chair. We must be quoted correctly. We are here to represent the views of young people in this country. We are not saying it's not our proposal. It must be raised thoroughly. It is your proposal. But your proposal has technicality when it comes to us. Why should the two be appointed by the minister when the seven are appointed by the parliament? We are saying the two that you want, Nina, no minister, it must come through the same process with the survey. And we are agreeing. And we are saying you must write it there. To say it represents the democracy, going to cater everybody with the explanation, with the meaning of democracy. So it must stop there. We are only disagreeing, Minister, with the two ex-officials. We are only agreed with your two that you requested, Minister. We are saying the two must come in, but must not be appointed by the minister. Must be appointed by the
minister.
On that side, it's a disrespect, I agree. I'm an African, but it's just the issue of when I speak, I use my hand. I will never do that. It's just an issue of saying minister is here, but the issue of hand, it does not reflect a disrespect. You are a mother. I can't do that. I don't have that intention.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I'm sorry, Chair, because due to my portfolio committee on social development, I was hardly in this meeting of the portfolio committee, Chair. But Chair, you correct me if I'm wrong. I'm of the view that these are responses to the comments made by public and other stakeholders, number one. Number two, just when I went out and came in, one of the law advisors asked if because of how, I'm sorry, I didn't get his name, but because of how it's presenting the weddings and whatnot, they asked for maybe a call Nanyana State as law advisors to quickly have a word and come back to us. And then thirdly, Chair, Minister, when she spoke here, she said, did we not do it accordingly? If not, I have many to open the school. Because where I'm seated, Chair, I'm also confused as to what is happening now, because I thought these were responses. And Honorable Sherry clearly made it that we as the portfolio committee do not make comments that need to be responded to by the department, which probably they are errors within the presentation here. Let us break and come back so that we have the way.
I break 10 seconds. I'm almost confused.
Can I finish? Yes.
No, we must not. Oh, we still move. Honorable members, those amateurs are understanding. Don't make it our problem. We're continuing with our meeting. Those who are here that speak, because even state law advisors and the legal team from Parliament. It's other people that are changing and changing. In the morning they introduced somebody else, now they're introducing somebody else. We are continuing. Mr. Kanap, read what you have and will respond. Tell us what how you responded as the department. I repeat exactly what I said in the morning. Respond. Tell us how you responded to the submission. And then what you said last week, and what is your response? And then Sheila, at the end of the day, will tell you what is best for this bill. There's no need for us to fight, and not to understand each other. But now we try and limit the way you represent the things, because you always put yourself in a way that I remember.
Chair, I was still speaking to a member of the portfolio committee. Chair, I want to finish speaking so that you get what I'm saying. You do not shout at me and suppress me as a member of the portfolio committee like you. Please listen to me. I'm not disagreeing or favoring anyone here. I'm just saying, Chair, let this be like this, because the minister is saying something else, you're saying something else, they're saying something else, Honorable Chair is saying something else. I'm just saying, come, let's be in one meeting. These are comments, and the department is responding to comments, which is a process that must happen. So I'm trying that in as a member of the portfolio committee.
And things that you have agreed last week, things that you did
me with them last week. Who gives the Hannah? But I am sure it's the name actually. It actually says the full of me to say 1, 2, 3.
At the
end. So Mr. Hannah, the problem I am like, Ubuntu. We have to better after the matter, after the I came to lay on a little bit in show last week. I decided literally, I put not away and I hit that man. This is where he was disagreeing with him. You understand? See, the way that you say, give a good job for better, you tell us, which is, this is how you responded to the submission, and this is. Now, last week, this what the department proposed was this, and this is how NDC control committee said last week. Because I can't understand the way minister, the government of ages, and then some other thing, I told you check that if young kids, if there are omissions, if there are additions, where we disagreed, where we agreed. Because we are trying to reduce time. We must finish finalize the bill before the end of this term. That's why I'm a member as we are up in the arenal. Moreover, I got some social law that people make me now. We speak that today and by sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear what the members are saying, that what has been agreed to last week can be okay, though I do not agree with that, because if there were comments that were made and the department is supposed to respond, the department must indicate that here we do not agree. Like what was just being said now, that the two ex-officio members that are supposed to be appointed by the minister must be appointed by the control committee. That is a violation of separation of powers. I have something here from National Treasury that talks to Schedule 3A and 3C agencies, because the NYDA is a Schedule 3A agency. It's not a Schedule 1 agency. It says, because it was talking about all other 3B, 3 whatever, it says the remaining public entities, which is Schedule 3A and B, are classified as Schedule 3A and 3C entities. These entities are normally extension of a public entity. The NYDA is an extension of the department. That's why the minister must be able to appoint two ex-officio members, not the portfolio committee, but also, as Emmanuel has indicated earlier on, that the NYDA is different, because from when the time it was appointed, there was no a regulation by the PFMA. The PFMA came in after. That's why the amendment also is necessitated, so that the NYDA could also comply with what the PFMA wants the agencies to be like. So it says it's an extension of a public entity with a mandate to fulfill a specific economic or social responsibility of government. So I think that's why when we say a minister must, actually when we started, we were saying the minister is the one that, when I joined the department then, the amendment then was saying the minister is the one that should appoint the board. But that was disputed and all those things, we leave it as it is. But the minister has a say, because it's expected to assist the minister in her function. It's not an independent institution like your Chapter 9 institutions, because I think that's where the challenge is. The PFMA determines the policy in terms of how the NYDA should function, or the role of the minister. I think we need to agree on that one. We can't be not be allowed to speak because there are things that we think the NYDA needs to do from the minister's perspective.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't come from my end, Chair. I'm going to speak about the practical approach as it relates now. I do feel, Chair, that there seems to be a misalignment in terms of the explanation around these ex officials. There is an impression created that these ex officials are people like me. I don't know if the minister will appoint. It's not the case, Chair. The minister will choose amongst people, generally as it is right now. There are people who work in the department who then come and work with the NYDA. They sit in the meetings, but they don't have voting rights. Hence, they are called ex officios. So if you include these two, Chair, there is no change in the board cost. But when you go further, Chair, and say you want to include two more who have full voting rights, the difficulty with that is they now become board members like me, in which case, when they are assigned work and whatnot, they will come at a cost to the institution. It is for this reason that these two are not the same. So it's not that the minister would appoint ordinary young people. It's people who are already in the department, in the service of the state, who would become shareholder representatives on the board to allow the streamlining of work between the ministry and the board and broader the agency. So whilst I would also, as a member of the board, believe that getting more members to be full board members would help. But it would be irresponsible of me to do that when I know the figures, when I know the budget, and the resources are not enough, Chair. So the idea of 9 board members, full board members, sounds okay. It sounds good. In fact, it might even give me more time, you know, if you were to add more people right now. But the problem is, at what cost can we realistically in this economy afford? And the outlook into the future does not allow us to make irresponsible decisions today, even though we like them, you know, even though they sound right. So for me, Chair, I would respectfully caution against the addition of 2 full board members, given the financial situation we're in today, and given where probably what we could do is these two can be explained and better to say they are not young people picked from somewhere else. The minister is not looking to get a backdoor. It's already people that are working in the public service who are in the department who at the moment are currently assisting. I hope I was able to explain myself.
Yeah, just to add to the comment, what is being proposed is not outside the realm of possibility. If you look, and I think it's almost important that we look at legislation outside of this one, that we take guidance from. If you look at the Higher Education Act, the Minister of Higher Education similarly appoints ministerial representatives to councils of higher education institutions. Because there's an understanding that the minister cannot be present at all material times. Yeah? And the representation of the minister in decision making is important. But in the NYDA case, it's even more important. Because the NYDA draws on young people who are inexperienced, which we recognize is important, right? It is important that young people are given an opportunity. But it's also important that there is guiding leaders within the board who can offer a wealth of experience and assist decision-making. Because we don't have all of the answers all of the time. And sometimes having those representatives on the board enables us to be guided, to be supported, and also to be represented. Because the board members don't sit in cabinet. It's the minister who sits in cabinet. And the minister being briefed on issues of the NYDA that she is able to then take to cabinet level enables us to implement programs, to bring in additional resources. So I think contextual analysis of what we are dealing with is very important in how we ultimately make a decision around issues. Thanks.
You know, honorable members and CEO. Just if you hear, these two issues were raised in the meeting. The issue of
number of the board members, whether we want board members to be increased to be 9. I think when we said the issue of LGBTQAIA plus and the disability, people living with disability must be the tool to be considered so that the number can be 9. That is the view that the portfolio committee last week when we were discussing the bill was putting forward. Because we thought that you want to increase the number of board members. But if the proposal is you want to remain with the 7 board members and the minister appoints the 2 ex-officials so that they can form part of the board, but having non-voting power. It was not explained like that to the committee last week. My honorable members are here. We didn't hear that. Because Tina, we thought that Nina, you want to increase board members to 9. And then that means the other 2 that must be appointed by minister at the parish. That's why honorable members are saying no, if there are 2 members that must be added to the board for increasing the number of board members, then they must come through parliamentary processes. And the other issue that we raised last week was, is it necessary for you to put it in the act that the minister must appoint 2 ex-officials? What is wrong with the current setup that you're having? Because, see, now we take it that Dr. Benny, by virtue of being there, I don't know the other person that she's working with, by virtue of her being there, working with the NYDA all the time, it's precisely that she is representing the minister in your board meetings. So if now we are explaining the way you are explaining it, then it changes the whole perception of you increasing the number of board members. So why were we talking about issue of provinces if you are not increasing the number of board members? One of the reasons that makes us to dwell on the issue of provinces, Mr. Dela, it's precisely because we thought you are increasing the number of board members, and we keep saying it must not be like you want 9 people, 9 board members, but it will like be all provinces will be represented. It's wrong if it's like that. That is the main reason we are arguing about this whole thing. But if it was explained like you are saying now, then there's no need, like Honorable Sheriff was saying. She was saying, no, let's remain with the 7 members.
In the point, respectfully, I wish to draw the members to the attention of slide 7 in our presentation last week. In slide 7, we make reference to specific inputs, and then we say under section 9, we do not express a view on section 9 of the draft bill. I'm not sure, Chair, how in the engagement it may have been projected that we are supporting the extension. We did not disagree with section 9. We felt the way in which it was expressed, it was sufficient for us. So we did not express a view either in favor or against. We did not request for additional 2 members. But now sitting here, Chair, listening to this debate, it would be irresponsible of me
not to express what is happening at the moment, especially from a position of financial prudence. It's very important, Chair, for us, especially us as members of the board, in exercising our fiduciary duties to furnish the committee with what is happening at the moment and how a decision towards 9 full board members may not necessarily be in the best interest of the institution. Although in an ideal world with ideal resources, it may be correct. But today, making decisions today with the material conditions, I think that Honourable Thierry understands better material conditions than I do, having been schooled by her in my other life. It would not be correct for us to be quiet.
No, yes,
I do want to ask you the financial situation of the past was that of the
NYCA. No, I'm saying I agree with what the NYCA is saying. One, on increasing the force between increasing the financial requirements, which we know are not there. So I would agree that, and I would agree to the members, that we remain at present. Maybe later, when the financial situation in the country is better than NYCA, because given what NYCA is getting, if you compare it to what they have to do, it's a drop in the ocean. So, but the two members, there are lots of boards already that do that. You, sometimes you don't even have, we have boards where a minister also asks another minister to send somebody to the board for those ex officio. So, I think we should agree on the ex officio. That's my plea.
Okay, let me choose the honorable members. Honorable, honorable Poli, honorable Mamshwati, and honorable Mamshwati. The question is, do we agree that we want to reduce the number or not to reduce the number? Based on the explanation that Minister and Ms. Bendela have given us to us now. Let's answer the question so that it is we redirect in direction to the men.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. If you could have listened always when I start, I expect to how it's presented. Last week, Chair, I was the one who asked, and it was responded by the Chair. Currently, we have never disagreed with the two ex-officials of the minister. I asked on the two ex-officials that we are talking about, does it have financial implications? The answer was no. It's within the department. And we are not saying it's wrong. Last week, even though you can retreat, we've asked that. We said, even currently, what is the situation? As you said, Mr. Zeller, even the current situation allows you to have two ex-officials that are appointed by the minister. Then we even went further to say, why now do you want to table it out? Then the response seems like it's a new thing. It's an addition that needed to be added. But we said, if it's currently minister, currently, with the current operation, you have the authority of the two ex-officials. You just need it to be written in writing, or there's any other thing that needs to be explained. And that question, it was responded in a different way, not like today. And we say, if you need those two ex-officials, it means you need an increase in the board. Let it be direct. But if it's an issue that has financial implications, let it go the same process as others. They are going on the same process, which is the process of parliament.
They're misled, yes. It's how you explain it. And it's not how we have argued on that basis. We said if you need an additional, that needs to be written there. As something that is, was not done currently, then it must not be done in that way. But if it's something that has been done already in the current form, and you are presenting it the next two defendants, you say if it's something that is happening now, you just need to put it in the law so that it can be registered and be in black and white. It is fine. But why should we have arrived to the argument that it's a new thing? I questioned that now. If you remember, you are sitting there. Or if the two ex-officials, and your chairperson said, it's not a new thing. The two ex-officials currently, the minister said, other father went through, you are saying something else. It looks like it's a new thing. But if it's not a new thing, you just need to write it down to be part of it. It is fine. And there's one presenter on the other side of the street. It is suggested, you must recall properly. Or no, it's better you bring the civil society. And we disagree with the civil society because you were put us further to a discussion that Nina, I've been asking her to say what is at the back of your mind, actually what do you want to achieve when you bring this thing. The explanation was different. But currently because you are raising issues that all of us were aware, tomorrow it will be a medium-term budget. That we are aware the country is facing financial issues. We never force as legislatures to do something that does not suit us. But the discussion chair and the argument, it was not derived from the two responses. But I think it's because maybe the department is failing to give us proper responses. And we are still saying, even when it's presented, we might be having shock towards voices and things. We're fighting. We're not fighting. We're just representing and doing what we're supposed to do, given the mandate by where we are from. We must make it a point that we are at work. You need to consider what you say. You know some of the statements that you utter, it makes us to come back because you have uttered them in between the lines. And it becomes unfortunate when you speak to things like we have a sense of disrespect. Unfortunately, we have a different characters. It's just our voices and how we speak. We don't mean to disrespect because this is not personal. It's our duty. We must do the justice. But, Chair, I want to step down with the fact that on the basis that was raised by Ms. Bendela, I want to fully agree. Our argument in extension of 9, we said, why did you put the two ex-officials now? While the chairperson of the NYDA said, currently that is the right situation that is happening. But when you explain it, it must be written down in the law and be seen. It must not just be something that we are thinking of and will never decry. That cabinet is ours. The cabinet that reports to Parliament is an extension of us. Actually, they are members of Parliament. We'll never deprive them. We'll never fight with their duty. So, Chair, I want to say thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Thierry. Honourable Sheriff. How one is the
Reverend? No, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, and to the Minister and team from the Department, NYPA, and members. Chairperson, I think this matter has been dealt with and discussed at length. We get the gist now, but I think this, whether you call it misunderstanding or whatever, I'll ask you this so that as and when we finalize this deal, we know that we have really put effort and minds to it. But the clarity that you are getting today from the board is represented by Mr. Ndlela, I think it's assisting us, Chairperson, in the clarity, because last week it was a different understanding, and today we're getting that to say that this is what they are meaning to say or trying to explain to us what they were looking for. And also taking from the minister the issue of the budget, the finances, we understand fully, and there's
nothing that we can force something as a committee, having listened to other reasons that give a sense of understanding where we are at currently as a country and also as a committee. So I think, Chairperson, the question that you are asking, from my side, I think that we will agree in this form that the ex officio members will not be people from elsewhere, but will be those people coming from the department, as has been currently been done, being appointed as a minister. I think it needs also to be clear to say that within the department, because sometimes we try people and then we are not sure. So I think with what is happening now, we've got Dr. Benis Chakanele, who is also has been working with the department, NYTA in this instance. I think, Chair, I think I will agree to those things on the issue of when we expand the number of people, the financial side, the problem in the state. Thanks,
Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Foni.
Honorable
Sherry. Thank you very much, Chairperson. For me, I think, like I've been saying, we should keep the board to 7 members. I think it's working, and I agree the fiscal constraints that we face in this country is a barrier. In terms of the two ex officio members, the problem was the explanation just wasn't given to us. If it's so frustrating because you guys were here last week, and if you had just explained it, we could have understood it, and we wouldn't have spent so much time going over it again. And I think this is where the problem comes. You must write it the way you say it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are saying two ex officio, you must say what are those two ex officio members. Because when you read the book, as is, it doesn't explain that it's going to come from government, it's not funded. You know, you must explain these things. You can't just put in the book, minister will appoint two ex officio members. It gets lost in the understanding. So if you are going to move with these two ex officio members, you must say exactly what they are, what the position is and who it will be. Because like we know, if Dr. Denise goes onto the board, she can't get paid, she can't get remunerated for a role on the board. So these things must be explicitly stated in the book. You can't just assume that people will know what you're talking about. A piece of legislation, Minister, has to be easy for anybody to understand, whether you are a PhD graduate or you are just finishing matric. It must be easily understandable so that we don't have these issues of misunderstanding or not, you know, getting the gist of it. For me, we should not expand board, we should keep it 7. I understand the logic behind the two ex officio members and the alignment between departments and the board, but again, be specific about it and so that we can understand it. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable member, I think
there's no
Because when
Secretary has expressed reservations about how the NYJ is structured. And
they're taking
us back. I'm just having that to say, when we go to National Secretary and we request for funding to say youth unemployment is a crisis in South Africa, National Secretary will say to us, we have a problem funding the NYJ because we believe your governance structure is wrong. You are the only friend of 3A public entity. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm giving you the history. I'm giving you the history.
I wish would be things I wish Uti and Kanisha and Nancy and their partnership. In Nelson Mandela Foundation, over what has spoken by you, over the other and the sisters are over and over again. We think that a moment of the evidence, even if you say that, I'm not agreeing that they are good. Because of the years, the people who are good, and we see how many people are now. But when they are in Mandela Foundation, they are police. But we see that the Shama team is a great, all of South America, what are we asking about? So the second time we came in to go, some of the number of the system came to in mind, and I took a lot of the system came.
I would just like to say thank you, Chair. Please, I would like you to hear this properly. I'm not fighting the issue of this Nelson Mandela Foundation. However, I believe we should not even be talking about it here because we do not know who it helps. This foundation gets money, but we do not know where the money goes. Even the DG being here can attest to the problem that exists in both the Kinder and the Eastern Cape, but we do not know where the funding that is given to that foundation goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kaula. We hear all the inputs that have been made, but I think relevant for today, members, we should not be focused. We get the concerns like Amar Kaula, but not Honorable Kaula, but here, because the Nelson Mandela Foundation has submitted an input or made submissions regarding the bill. We have to entertain their submission like we've been entertaining all others who have came before. So I think for us we will be dealing with the issues on the table for now. Thank you. And I will hand over back to the chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable colleague.
So there was one other important thing that I just did to the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund has said that legislation needs to be and I'm sure I don't have it here, but it's in the
legislation.
So what do you mean by so they were saying that the legislation needs to be just sort of be friends to young people, like the language used. So I think just for them to be active, the department has always developed youth-focused infographics that speak to the different policies and legislation that we do. And even with this legislation, I'm sure once it is passed, we will develop the infographics about it, about the bill or the final amendment bill, but also when necessary roadshows will be done to engage the public on and then there was Amy Starnovo as well who joined in. And I just put in one of the comments that you made.
Chair, just a quick one. Why in your presentation do you only address one issue from the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, but yet on the document that you gave to us, you literally responded to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the comments made by the Nelson Mandela Fund. Chair, the reason I'm raising this is because the process that we are currently in,
is necessary to go through each and every single comment that each stakeholder has made. And if you remember in the National Council bill, even if the department noted, it was labeled as noted. So the comments was made and then the department's response was noted. But it had every single comment on it. I just feel like if you're going to pick and choose which comments you want to respond to, we're going to find ourselves in a situation because we didn't go through the process correctly. So, Chair, this is my concern. Again, you're only dealing with 1 year. You had mentioned the second one on the legislation, but it's not in your presentation, whereas you don't speak about technology. You don't speak about simplifying language. Increasing more funding or within the actual comments. And my concern, Chairperson, is that we're not being consistent in our processes and we need to be careful and not allow the department to take the committee into a direction where we don't want to end up in. Because if we don't follow the correct processes, we open ourselves up to a situation where people can say, listen, the committee didn't follow the process, therefore it can't be agreed to. So we just need to be very careful with that, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And I think
the
following member is correct. There is a document which lists all of them. However, for the purpose of the presentation, we were worried about time. Already this is 26 slides. I don't think we are going to be, I'm not sure, but I don't think we are going to finish it, or even this slide. But I'm happy with your guidance, Chair. I can go to the document, it's open. We can go through each and every one of the comments. But what we've done is just to, those issues that we are noting, or those that do not speak directly to the legislation, especially if they are from 1.1 conversation, we've clustered them and said, and you'll see at the end of the presentation, there are other comments which we did not read, which we will refer either to the NYPA or for the same delivery module consideration. But we did consider all of the comments. They are here on the web document. If time permits, we can definitely go through this 40-page document.
because we have a debate as to what is basically debating the gender-based violence bill today. So we are going to attend it once. So the other thing we are going to apply for another meeting on Friday. So that we can see if it's going to be visual. Next, let me remember, can it be visual?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be visual as a meeting. There's a meeting in the morning Friday. Okay, and then immediately afternoon, we start with the meeting in Saturday. Whether 3 or 5 or 5, then we must agree what time, yeah, so that everybody must be ready. So that we do justice to all the submissions, including the ones that we submitted here. Don't overlook those submissions. When someone has experience of each day, 29 years, that's why we feel that we need to teach and everything that we do. Don't you miss them? That's why I'm telling you and teaching you that you should not have right there. Because people never admit it for us. So that's what we're trying. But I'm sorry, I'm a submission. I'm going to be day one. So I'm okay. Yeah, that's a bash. And to be a teaching for record keeping, it's important. So we go from our body and follow the end. So in this case,
the MIDA must consider the proposal for the service delivery model.
and how the young people themselves will be affected. Of course, we don't have any identity target, and like we have to that in line with the definition of the Israeli code. So he's proposing that that be increased to 29, especially when it comes to youth employment programs. And I think this comes from the notion where young people are saying, when we turn 35, it's like we disappear from anything. We don't enter anywhere once we turn 35. So this is something that we want to put in the bill, but we will refer to the MRG. He also proposed the issue of stakeholder engagement that the NYDA must do in its program. Our view is that this is already provided for in the bill, but they must consult stakeholders, they must work in collaboration with stakeholders. But he also says that they must expand the footprint at grassroots level and rural areas. And our view is that this is already provided for in section 5.1b of the principal text. There's also a lot of points that you raised around how the NYDA can upscale its training programs and its employment and economic programs. We welcome the submission, including the part that speaks about funding more young people. So we welcome the submission. Of course, we won't put that in the legislation because the Principal Act also provides for funding, including the amendment it speaks about the issue of the NYDA funding and youth-owned enterprises that are in the development space that align with this mandate. And so we believe that this is adequately provided for in the legislation. The issue of expansion, again, I think we covered in the previous point to say that the NYDA can expand in terms of its operations based on the existing principal act. But also the issue of funding of the number of young people that the NYDA funds is an issue that has been raised by many other stakeholders. But we understand that currently, in terms of how the NYDA is funding education, only fund a certain number of organizations. So if the NYDA needs to engage further with National Treasury, that is of course something that I know that we should need. There was a comment from Mr. Sipong Bonani, who speaks about the need for the department to be visible in rural areas. He was saying that he supports the bill. And I think the key issue he raised was the problem of not being able to access funding because of the bad credit record that he has, because he had lost his job during COVID times. And then his credit record was messed up. So I think the comment is noted and it's acknowledged as valid. We are saying that we will process it to the NYDA for the NYDA to consider it as part of its funding policies. The national policy speaks about second chances for young people. So these are some of the people that when we speak about second chances, we need to creatively think about how do we assist them to be able to get a second chance to get back to the economic mainstream. The comment that the chairman touched on was by Ms. Motsoani, who spoke about the role of traditional healers being incorporated into the NHI. He said that the comment can be processed to the relevant bill and the relevant portfolio committee. We'll go back to the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund. So there were two speakers there, Dr. F. Maposa and Ms. Zama Joseph Tole. They spoke about the need for the organization to improve its funding, increase its funding, and improve its M&D capacity. And that the NYDA's resources must be increased in proportion to the population. They spoke about the issue of the agency utilizing technology in its service delivery model, the need to align the bill with other legislation, and also the language issue that I spoke about earlier in the presentation. So we've responded to all of these issues. If you look on the far right, saying that the technology research funding MFD cannot be addressed through the legislation itself. We take note of the concerns of the department of increasing funding, and we are saying that there's a business case, of course, that can be presented to both Treasury and Parliament as the years continue and as the financial situation improves for the NYPA to receive additional funding. That will address the issue of the proportionality of the youth population to the funding of the agency. The second model speaks to the operations of the NYPA and will be referred to them as such. We are saying that the bill was submitted to state law advisors for alignment with other legislation. And at this point, they have specified the provisions of the bill to be constitutional. So, in addition to that, of course, we are using the bill will use standard constitutive language. But we are saying, as we said earlier, we will use infographics to reach out to more young people.
Chair, two things. The first one is, why can't monitoring and evaluation be legislated? First one, so you state that. the mark cannot be addressed in through legislative means in this context. So what does that mean exactly? And then in terms of the simplifying the language, I mean, we just had a example of the two ex officio, where if it was in more simple, basic language, we could have understood it easier. So can you just explain why your response is amendment bills are not worded as this with the bonus class, and changes are reflected, and therefore have to get infographics? How are you developing infographics on an amendment bill that has not been passed yet, firstly? And secondly, making legislation easy to understand must be the cornerstone of every democracy. If you have legislation that is so high level that people can't understand it, what's the point of having legislation? You have to have legislation for people to understand. The three GBVF bills that went through Parliament, this was one of the biggest things around it, is that victims of GBV must be able to understand the legislation so that they know what their rights are. It's exactly the same with this. Young people must understand the legislation so that they know how to get assistance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. And to respond to the Honourable Member, so the comment on the functions, the legislation and how it sort of make provision for certain functions within the agency was more specific to the issue of using of technology. I don't think we need a legislation that will tell the agency to use technology. They are already embracing technology in their operations. With MFE, the agency does have an MFE capability that looks within itself and also is able to collect data outside of government through research, etc., in order for it to produce status of use information. So that's already covered. I believe it's already covered in terms of their operation. But on the second comment, the infographics. So the department conducted their chair consultations, I think for a year and 6 months in the department on the draft bill. Based on that draft bill, before taking in Parliament, we developed infographics to be able to communicate with young people in the language that they understand. Very few young people will pick up a piece of legislation from the website and read it thoroughly. So we went above and beyond the bill and went and produced those infographics that we used to engage young people. We used to engage young people also on social media, Twitter and WhatsApp, so that they can understand the content of the bill. So that is the context within which we are talking about the infographic. Having said that, we are not saying that we are going to use bombastic words unnecessarily in the bill. I think when you read it, you realize it's very few. I mean, ex officio, I think it's standard legislative language. And even there, we do try and put definitions at the very top section of the bill in order for young people and everybody else reading the legislation to can understand what is it that we mean by integrated in development strategy, what do we mean by deterrent policy, what do we mean by principal, and whatever language that we use, we do put definition in that bill. So we agree with the comment that the legislation has to be easy to read. We fully agree with the comment, but we are trying to expand on the point that says, over and above that, we also try and issue infographics and other formats for young people to then understand what is contained in the bill. And I hope that's our final question. Okay. So, if you consider that the fact that we've spoken about the issue of the advisory committee, then that will be all as it pertains to the input by the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund. With your permission, I proceed. This one I spoke about in the presentation earlier. That I have zoomed into one element of what the member was saying, or the member of the party. So they were proposing that under section 5.2a, which proposed for the division of the bill from the current act, or they are affecting what we are saying. And then they are saying that we must include or we put back the word investigation into the bill. And we were explaining on the right that investigation in this context might be misconstrued to mean that it's a technical police type of inquiry. And we are saying that we will stick with the word research as is proposed in the bill. And they also said that we must insert the word all when it comes to organs of state, to say that all organs of state must support the agency or assist the agency, as may be, as it may be required. And that we are referring them back in our response to the definition of organs of state that is reflected in the bill. And we say that any department of state or administration in the legislature. So that is inclusive in our view of the company of all. We don't need to do this and take that away and put the way all in but by visual saying state agents include all of them at local, provincial, as well as national level.
Thank you, Chairperson. We explained all now. Can you please explain reasonably to me? Because local governments are already also cash set. So what is reasonable? Can you please define that for me?
Right. So in this context, the use of the word reasonable is to the extent that says that organs of state must assist the agency. But in how they assist, they have to consider factors that are, you know, sort of in their environment. So if a department, for example, has an allocation of 10 million for skills development and they want to partner with the NYPA, nobody can expect that department to produce 20 million for the same program, whereas their funding allocation is sort of ring-fenced at 10 million. So reasonable means within possible means, within reasonable means, within what is possible within your means. So if, for example, a Department of Health has a mandate of mental health and they want to go into the NYPA, the NYPA itself on the side cannot come and say, on top of that mental health, we want you to also deal with issues of crime, for example. It's not reasonable to expect the Department of Health to go outside of its mandate in order to partner with the agency. So it has to do with costing, but it also has to do with issues of the mandate. So I'm not aware as to whether we need to further refine or define that in the bill, that is the proposal of the members, I'm not sure. But I think this is what we mean with the current provision. Yes. Okay. funding.
Yeah.
And so there was this issue that was proposed by the participant that said the reason that we set the age of 40 was under Section 7 BC for members who are to serve on the board. And so they are agreeing with the fact that we are saying that members that are 25 years are still in their term. However, we must say that such a member must not exceed the age of 40. So we are saying in our response that it's not possible for a member to reach 40. If, for example, a person is appointed at 84 and they serve a 3-year term, they can't reach 40. Their term will end when they are 87. So we don't think there's a need to add. It's not necessary to end the age of the age 40 because already the time has appeared. And the beginning age can be at the age of 85. They are also suggesting that from the bill, you must change the word may to must, to read that the board must establish committees, including WWF. In our response, we are saying that the bill creates an obligatory decision to the board by using the word may. This is different from the word must, because that determines the power that they have to execute. So if we say they must establish those committees, we are not giving the board free will in a way to can, within its operations and needs and capacities, sort of establish the board that they require. So with the current provision, the board is able to maneuver and move around in terms of the type of committees that they can establish. Because if you look at the final clause, it says that any other board that they need. So it's an expansive and agile type of clause which allows for flexibility. We also have a comment from...
Thank you. And can we go back, Emmanuel, to the main versus the must? Because for me, the obligatory discretion means that there's no obligation in discretion. I don't know whether you get me. If you can use the discretion, there's nothing that obliges you to do anything. So now the question is the creation or the establishment of committees a discretion or an obligation? You can't have both.
Yes, can I attempt to respond in the sense that based at least on our understanding, the idea why it should say may instead of must is not so much about whether the board committees will be created or not, but it's more in the number of the committees and also the names of the committees. Let me make an example, Chair. The current Act says we may create and list them. One of those committees is a committee called the Credit Committee. And of course you would understand why it was given that name, because it used to look over loans and approve loans back in the time when the NYDA between 2009 to 2018, it was still giving loans. But if you had used the word must, it would have meant at the time the NYDA makes an operational change to its business model, it would have required for us to be within the ambit of the law, an amendment at that point. So the operational agility of the agent would have been hindered by the use of the word must, because when you get audited and your founding legislation says you must have these and you don't have these, you have others, which you can explain by the fact that look, we've changed our business model, we are now agile. For instance, the Companies Act has evolved to include something called a social and ethics committee for large institutions, which is something that in the Act in 2008, when it was signed into law, the Companies Act had not evolved to include something like that. So
I think for us, at least in looking at it at this level, it's not to say because it's not a mass, it means there will be nothing done, because the work of the agent is audited against our compliance with the King's Code, our compliance with the Companies Act. For instance, we cannot not have an audit committee for Section 77. It has to be there. So the use of the word mass for me is to allow for agility more than anything else. It's not to say we can just sit and not do anything, because we won't pass an audit, and it will not be in terms of good corporate governance to just sit and not do anything. But I'm afraid about using mass, because I think it may require, it may stop us from being agile. Thank you.
Chairperson, that was the rationale as explained by the NYDA. In legislation, we don't want to be too restrictive. If we say must, once again, like with the number of board members, it has a financial connotation. So the NYDA sets a budget aside, and based on the assessment for the year, if they feel that they need primary school advisory committee on sports, then it will be done in that regard. So it's more for flexibility that we use may and leave it under the control of the NYDA board to decide what do we need as a committee or for future committees. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm very much covered by both Ms. Leila, as the state law advisor. But I don't know, it's probably something I'm willing to engage in Ms. Leila on the side, because sometimes, you know, having served in a number of youth organizations, what would you do in a situation where the, let's just say, probably the two executives would have an appetite for power, and they would want to centralize some of the duties and responsibilities of some of the standing committees that you are having, because there's no obligation to establish any committee if you are opening it up. But I fully understand the person what they are saying, but you know that sometimes they have people in power, as well as being creative, you know. It's true, it does happen where you find that they will want to centralize most of the work in the office of the chairpersonship than the executive chairperson. What would you do in that situation? Because there's nothing that obliges the organization to have any committees for the matter. How then would you protect yourself against such? Because it's very good now that, you know, we are all fine with each other, and the board members were happy, and we are jovial, and we are working nicely. But there's nothing that says that one day the chairperson might just say, lobby some of you, let's collapse the committee, let's collapse the committee, and bring the power to the office of either the chairperson or the deputy chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the concerns raised by the honourable member. I think it's correct, but because legislation is not read alone, when you read the NYDA Act, you have to read it in the context of the Public Finance Management Act. You must also read it in line with the Companies Act. So those two legislation, and obviously as of the most recent judgment, you now have to include for all state-owned enterprises the King's Code on corporate governance. So with those three, it's no longer suggestive, you have to. So that's how when you get audited in the end on your governance, you get audited according to your legislation, plus the Companies Act, plus the King's Code and the PFNA, whether you are in compliance. So those three legislation, two plus the, although the court has said it really is now binding, the King's Code. So those three are prescriptive. For instance, the Audit and Risk Committee is even prescribed
as to who can be its members. In the case of the MIDA, it would be two independent members who are not members of the board and myself. And you can't change it. Even if the board wishes to put me as the chair of the audit committee, a power that I would never say no to chair, but it can't be done because of the law. So I think there are sufficient safeguards, but for agility, I would really plead that we remain with the name, as was the case in the principal act, and we have benefited from it, as I said, in the case of 2013, when the business model changed. Thank you.
We also had input from the South African Council. First and foremost, they were saying that they recommend that the definition of youth in the bill must specify whether a member should be aimed to be put in the time of the time of appointment and during the course of their service on the board.
So I think if you generally when we look at the submission, I think they have a different version of the bill, and so they are thinking about posting the size. Whereas the current bill was thinking about 18 to 25 and when it was published. So I think we do respond to them to say that the bill provides for members who can identify live service in the board allowed to finish their term, who sort of set the time task of when a person can take the board if they reach the age of 35. They also commented on under section 3D to say that the definition of the national youth policy doesn't need its elaboration, and they recommend that we must correct it accordingly, and we are taking in response that there is a comprehensive definition under section 1 of the bill in terms of what the national youth policy is all about. And so they're not raising any concerns around the type of wording that we're using. This is different from what the Western Cape provincial government has done. They have challenged some of the wording that we are using, and they are sort of proposing reframing of the definition of the national policy. And I'll speak to that when we do get to it. And then they had a proposal under section 3A, which speaks about the object of the agency, and the current, the way they are proposing the bill to read is exactly how the bill is written. I want to read it and then they are saying here that the MIDA board should be granted the opportunity to establish annual national health programs in respect of youth development as contained in the principal act and as an addition to 3B of the amended bill, which speaks to that the agency must report the executive on the implementation of the annual youth development priorities. So of course the law is different. This part is saying that they must establish an annual national priority program. The bill says they must report to the minister on the implementation. So we are saying that the agency reports to the minister anyway what this problem is. And this is a legislative function in the PFMA. So this provision that they must report to the executive office has to remain as such. The board itself is allowed to continue to have its annual programs or its priority programs that they want to do here, and nothing to the legislation stops them from doing that. And the agency also can do the same as part of its annual plan and its strategic plan. Under section 3C, which states that they must initiate, design, and coordinate all programs aimed at integrating the youth into the economy, as well as 3A, which speaks about that the agency can initiate, design, and pilot youth development programs. They are saying that they believe that the clause is taking away the responsibility of the board members to do critical work on a comprehensive and holistic level. And probably this also
sound similar to what the members were saying in terms of how the provisions in the principal act is and how the proposed use of functions in the bill region. So in our response, notwithstanding all the debates from the
as long as the House no one
Chair, I just looked at the parliamentary program. Thank you, Dr. Gordon Schickel. And there's no parliament, there's no plenaries on Friday. There's nothing on Friday. It's dedicated for a day for committees. So we should be able to have our committee meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Friday morning. Friday morning.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I, on behalf of the African National Congress, wish to call on the leadership to firstly yourself, Honourable Chairperson, as well as all the Honourable members and the Department CG yourself and his team on the earlier behavior of one of our members, Chairperson, who just reached the situation that we hope we never ever repeat this case. We do understand that trust that we are led by a good person and we are putting the message honestly in terms of the work of this community. We completely
comes from their organization, but once a person is there or selected the Chairperson, we must all respect that person, and we must also believe that that person must put their call in. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You
want to
speak?
Yes, thank you very much, honorable members, Mansito, and honorable Mansoula, and honorable Mansito, thank you. I put on the accepted, because I can be more than, can be more than you. And I'm a super person, and I can do the same to the extreme. So, as you know, I'm a chair of parliament, and I'm expected to behave as such and guide the committee when things are not done correct. It's not yourself that are going to be asked. It's myself who must account on behalf of parliament. So I have a responsibility to chair and ensure that the work of parliament is done according to the standards and the rules of parliament. So, but thank you very much for the apology. The apology is accepted to myself. And thank you, CC and Mr. Hanna, for the presentation. I hopefully Friday you will be ready with those that you did not presented today. And please capture everything according to how we agree in the meeting. Don't take a step. Please, not me, so please accept it. The legal team from Parliament, I'm disappointed because if there were things that you did not understand, first of all, you're supposed to come to this meeting prepared. That's one. Two, if there was something that you wanted to raise with the chair, you must speak directly to the chair. Don't go to individual members. They're not going to help you. Because they're not chairing the meeting. They are not responsible for the cultural committee. I'm fully responsible for the cultural committee. So if there are things that you want to raise, come directly to the chairperson. Don't sit there at the back and you go outside and you want to discuss with my members that there is something that you don't understand. That's not difficult. You are here in Parliament to serve Parliament. So I will write a letter of complaint to your office. That is the service us today. Thank you very much for the Office of the State Law Advisor, because your participation was valuable, and you assisted in many things where we don't even understand and don't see eye to eye, and we're disagreeing with the department. You were able to correct or to add value in those things, so that at least we are able, as honorable members, to do what is expected from us to do. Anyway, Mr. Zola, thank you very much for your contribution, especially to that issue where we didn't think eye to eye with the department. And raising the fiscal issues, you know, that was important, very paramount. But and when we do legislation, we must consider potential implications, you know. And because we are there with the MIDA, we understand the institution, you know. That's very good. It's not that we're closing out other people. And you were distressed to come in, no, but what you were raising was very much genuine.
coming. Don't take us back and things that you have discussed and agreed. Never do that to us. I was protecting you because you were going to get the heat, you know, from members, because we've dealt with that thing last week. Today we're just finalizing other things, but as soon as we know from where we started up until today, where are we? So, but thank you for coming, and the apology that was forwarded to us, we also accept them, because your colleagues are traveling to China. So thank you. Thank you for our kind language interpreter. You know, and now every time your colleagues are here, and those people who complain, as they are very much happy, I got the feedback from sign language people that they want to thank the professional committee for being considerate. And the interpreter for Isizulu, thank you, but I think you need to speak to your office, because sometimes you want to speak in Venda, so that at least they must be like last week, where there was a Sotho person in the meeting. So I think that also is welcome. But thank you very much to our staff. Kashifa, our researchers, we are doing a great job. We deserve it. If you have a Mr. Vala, we always make sure that we get our room, yeah, but Friday we're not